Blog Talk Radio.
Now listen. This just makes it perfect. This just makes it perfect. We're behind. They're all fired up. We got class. We're going to find it out. We got class, and I know we got it. And what we got to do? First place, our defense has got to go out there and take the ball. Our defense hasn't been taking the ball. Then when we get the ball, we got to have 11 people. 11 people is just going to do their job, whatever it is. Just going to do their job and try to score every time you get the football. If we do that, we'll be all right. The offensive team has started. The same team started when offense started, except stable the quarterback. Okay, can we get together?
All we need is just somebody that wants to do some leadership out there. Now we go. Come on, Ed. Everybody's a leader.
Episode of BAMS Radio. It's Wednesday night, so you know what time it is, 8 p.m., BAMS time. I will be your host for the evening. I am Thomas Rock Watts. I must admit I'm a little brain dead because I just took the graduate records or whatever readmittance exam, and, well, 5 hours of test taking has sapped my energy for the evening. But luckily, I have an excellent wingman and one, Kerry Clark. How you doing this evening, Kerry?
Oh, so I'm the wingman now.
Well,
that's good.
Co-host, yeah, I was afraid you were going to catch that.
Is that deficient?
I was waiting for the Top Gun. BS, you can be my wingman, whatever. But, you know, that's good too. Anyway, Kerry, looking forward to your 4th of July. You have any fun Bama plans? You just kind of kicking back with the family?
Kicking back with the family, a little barbecue and just kind of chilling, maybe hit the pool for a little while. Nothing big or exciting.
I'm with you on that. I have the test I took a day off for, and so I've got a 5-day weekend, and I don't really know what to do with myself. It's very weird. But anyway, what we're going to be talking about tonight, Alabama got another commitment that Kerry has a scoop on, I'm sure. The opening, which is the Nike big high-end prospect camp, is going on up in Oregon right now, so there will be some things coming out of there. And it is still the middle of silly season. There's a little bit going on at Texas A&M that fans might not have heard about. It does affect their starting defense in a very negative way, so I consider myself further vindicated, assuming these kids do not play, that Alabama will come in and stomp A&M, but remains to be seen. Maybe a little talking point. If you've been a long-time listener to the show, you know that Bama Bird has been going through some health issues and went through surgery a month or two ago. And from the emails that Kerry and I are getting, he might be back next week. I don't want to pin that down on him because, you know, you don't mess around with surgery, and if he can't make it, he can't make it. But Kerry, did you get that impression from Birds in our emails? Can we flash that to our listeners across the wire?
Yeah, I feel the same way. It looks like we're going to have the big man back next week. He's already talking about bringing on guests, and you know, he's got a history of bringing on some very exciting and informative guests. I don't know who exactly he has in mind for next week, but it sounds like it's going to be a fun fact. So I'm sure we'll probably go more than an hour next week if he does have a couple of guests. But looks like we could get him and Blip both back next week. May have all four horsemen of the Bama's apocalypse or the characters on Big Bama Theory or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, this just a little preview for our fans. Anyway, that is next week, and Bama's is now. So, Kerry, you were mentioning in the back chat about how you got to hear, I believe, Coach Grant speak, and without getting yourself in trouble with the Red Elephant Club or any other organization, could you give us a quick recap of that?
Yeah, I can. I don't even think he said anything that he wouldn't care about being publicized. It was a meeting of the Jefferson County chapter of the UA Basketball Tip-Off Club, which deals with Bama basketball only. And we normally have four meetings a year at the Bright Star. So if you're listening and you haven't been to the Bright Star, in a while in Bessemer, and you're jealous, then I do understand. But the meeting was attended not only by Coach Grant, but he brought C.M. Newton with him too, who was one of the great basketball coaches in Bama history. But the focus of the event was to hear Coach Grant give kind of a state of the team address. And the theme of the address was, despite what you may read on the Internet or in the newspaper or here on talk radio, the sky is not falling in Tuscaloosa. Now, I hope that Bird and Blip at least are listening live or can go back and hear the podcast of this, because they both have asked me to help them get off the ledge before regarding Bama basketball. But Coach Grant spent – Thomas, he spoke for over an hour.
Wow.
And he took questions. Part of that was questions, but he spoke a good 45, 50 minutes without even getting to the questions, going over the various reasons that Alabama basketball is not in the tank like people are trying to make it out to be. He reported that every person on the roster but one was there for the first summer term, and that one that was not there is there for this term, and he was a transfer, Michael Kessens, who couldn't play this year anyway. Just a couple of points he went over, and I don't even think he'll mind me sharing this. I really don't, because he would like the word to be spread that, as he put it, his words, the sky is not falling in Tuscaloosa. Some of the things that he touched on, he was quite honest when he told us that, you know, he demands a lot of his players, and playing for him is not for everybody. And he didn't name any names, but he said that, unfortunately, you know, sometimes parents and other people outside the program get involved, and things like that can result in transfers. And he went over the fact that there's been over 300 kids transferred from D1 schools in the last couple of years, so it's an epidemic. But he didn't mention any names. We all knew who he was talking about. But what he said, I want to really accentuate on the positive things he talked about. He said that the two freshmen in the signing class that will be eligible to play this year, 6'8" Shannon Hale and 6'10" Jimmy Taylor, have done very well in the individual workouts that they're allowed to conduct with the assistant coaches. He said that Shannon Hale is a legit 6'8" and has got the ability to knock down shots from the wing as well as play on the post. And someone in the audience asked Coach Grant, you know, could he be, you know, when you were at Florida, you had guys like Matt, well, the dude, the redhead dude that plays for the Spurs. And also later on, Bonner. And then later on, Chandler Parsons, who's now with the Houston Rockets, guys that would come off the screen and hit like 17, 18-foot jumpers off what they call the pick and pop play. And someone asked, well, you know, could Shannon Hale be that guy? And he said, you know, well, I don't want to put a whole lot of pressure on him, but he certainly has the tools to do that, and that would be a major addition to Alabama's offense if they had a 6'8" guy that can consistently knock down shots from around the perimeter. He also mentioned that Jimmy Taylor is a legitimate 6'10" with a 7'6" wingspan, and while his offense is a work in progress, he feels like that he can help them immediately on defense. And for the people that criticize him for only having 9 scholarship players, because he has 2 transfers and he had a guy who left the team in Pollard for personal reasons and a guy who transferred in Lacey for silly reasons, not his words, those are my words. But anyway, he said, for those that are criticizing me for only having 9 guys, I usually don't play but 8, maybe 9 guys in a game. And the situation is, yeah, we need some injury luck. We didn't have any injury luck last year because of situations that developed with Andrew Steele and a few others that missed a game or two here or there. But he said, if we have any kind of injury luck at all, that's all we need is 8 or 9 guys. And he said, don't let the 8 or 9 guys on scholarship, well, the 11 on scholarship, but don't let the 9 eligible scholarship players who aren't transfers bother you too much, because that's about all I ever play in my rotation anyway. He went on to say that junior college transfer Algie Key is not a great shooter, so if people were expecting him to come in and be a three-point threat, he's not, but he said he's probably the fastest guy on the roster, and he said that that Algie will be a great help on defense, ball handling, penetration, distribution. He's a great team player. He motivates his teammates. He'll play a big role in this team. Now, he didn't say this, but the way he described Algie sounded to me like Scenario Hilton with better ball handling skills, a better handle on the ball. So, and you can use a guy like that. He doesn't necessarily have to start, but you can use a guy. And then the question I posed late in the game, let me tell you another positive thing before I tell you my question, because this statement by Coach Grant led to my question. He said that the new Lou Dineen is a strength and conditioning coach that Coach Grant brought in about 6 weeks ago from UAB. And Coach Dineen has coached all around the country, Florida, Cal, all kind of places, and he's been a part of some very good players and developing players and ended up in the NBA. And Coach Dineen has only been on campus about 6 or 7 weeks. He said that in that time, since Coach Dineen arrived and started working with his team, he has gotten Nick Jacobs down from 270-plus to 255, to where Jacobs is in the best shape he's been in since he's gotten to Tuscaloosa. That led me to ask the question, Thomas. Coach, based on what you've told us about Hale and Taylor and Jacobs, and he also talked up the fact that Carl Engstrom was 100% healthy. I said, Coach, is it possible that, you know, rather than having Rodney Cooper play so much power forward, could you actually go back to playing two big men this year? And he said, it's absolutely possible. He said, we're hoping to be able to do that. Some of it depends on the opposition. I mean, if you're playing a team of four guards, you're going to play four guards. But, you know, if you're playing somebody like Kentucky, he's got a lot of bigs. He now has the option to do that because he feels like that – he said – Thomas, he said Carl Engstrom's doctors told him that of all the people that they've treated for ACL injuries in their medical experience history, that Carl's rehab effort and results were in the top five. Now, not top 5%, top five players that they worked with to rehab on knee injuries, that Carl worked that hard. And he said that Carl was actually already back doing drills. And he also went on to talk to us about a European trip that the team is being allowed to take in August, where they're going to play professional teams over in France and Italy and places like that. They're going to play 5 games in 10 days, and they're going to play, in many cases, guys that are older than them and veteran European players. But it's a test for Alabama to see where they stand in regard to playing big-time competition. And the transfer kids, Ricky Tarrant and Michael Kessens, aren't allowed to participate in that because they're not eligible to play this fall. But the true freshmen, the junior college transfer, are able to. So he'll have 9 scholarship guys, possibly 10. There's consideration being given to making one of the current walk-ons a scholarship player. I probably shouldn't say his name until it happens. But if you watched the games last year, you know that one of the walk-ons played a whole lot more than any of the other ones did. And that individual may very well get a 1-year scholarship. So the roster management people that are criticizing him for 9 will now have to criticize him for 10. But those people will all be eligible to go to Europe and play, and he'll be able to test out and see where Shannon Hale and Algie Key and Jimmy Taylor are. He'll be able to test out the improvement of Nick Jacobs, the improvement of everybody else on the team. Trevor Rolford's gotten invited to a couple of big-time camps. He got invited to Deron Johnson's camp a couple weeks ago, and he recently got invited to LeBron James' camp. So Trevor Rolford's having a big summer already. And then Trevor will be going with him to Europe, and Trevor's probably your All-SEC point guard this year. And, you know, with Lacey gone, he'll go back more to full-time point guard duties with able backups. Coach mentioned in response to a question from another member of the audience that the possible backups for Trevor, of course, you know, he's got to have a breather every now and then. The possible backups would be Rhett Nabasahan, and also he said Algie Key can play the point. And if it absolutely had to, Levi Randolph could play it. And he went on to talk about the positive APR ratings the basketball team had. They even finished ahead of Vanderbilt. They were number 1 in the SEC in the APR academic ratings. He talked about just the chemistry that's developing in the offseason and the advantages that the European trip gives them, because in addition to the 5 games, they're allowed to practice while they're over there the day they don't play, which is 5 practices, and they're allowed to have 10 practices in Tuscaloosa before they go. So this is really going to give this team a chance to mesh before other people start practicing in October. So everybody that was there enjoyed not just the good food at the Bright Star, but also the good work from Coach Grant. And everybody that was there left out of there feeling, wow, you know, this program is in A, in good hands, and B, in much better shape than we kind of thought it was with these guys leaving. And then, you know, somebody at the very end, you know, every group of boosters, Thomas, has one or two guys that ask these off-the-wall questions. And it happens to Saban, but the people that do it to Saban get the death stare, and then they get blessed out. Well, the Grant's a lot more laid back. Coach Grant was, by the way, sporting his goatee that he's been wearing the offseason, which is also pretty funny. Coach was asked if there was a possibility that Devontae Pollard could come back in January. And he said, well, he said, I really don't know. He said, right now we are more concerned with Devontae's personal situation. He said, I personally don't think he's going to be found guilty, but based on what I've been told about the case. And he has spoken to Devontae as well as Mrs. Pollard, the mom that triggered the whole thing. He doesn't feel like that Devontae will end up getting charged or serve any time, but he also doesn't know when or if Devontae will ever be ready to return to Alabama. So he did address that, but I would say the chances are slim and none on that. But bottom line, with the 9 guys and probably about to be 10 guys on scholarship, he feels like he's going to have a very competitive team. Now, they're all playing extremely tough schedules, as we talked about before, but he feels like he's going to have a very competitive team. And he pointed out something that people may not realize. They've won 69 games in the last 3 years. And, you know, not a whole lot of teams in the country can say that. Certainly they wanted to be in the NCAA all 3 of those years instead of 1, and that is the goal this year as it is every year. But it's not like he's running a piece of crap program. He's running a program that has a winning record every year and has been to postseason almost every year. In fact, every year but his first season. It's been postseason 3 years in a row. So the goal is obviously to get back to the NCAA tournament this year, and they feel like they've got the players to do it, you know, with the talent coming in and the job that the new strength coach, Deneen, is doing. And he mentioned briefly about the promotion of Antoine Petway, who he felt is very deserving, is now a full-time assistant instead of director of basketball ops. And just overall, the state of the basketball program, you know, their demise was greatly exaggerated. And everybody that was there for that talk this past Monday night came away with a very, very encouraging feeling and a very optimistic feeling about Alabama basketball. And I really hope that my guys, Bird and Blip, at least get to hear this podcast, because I wanted them to know that information as well. But that was it in a nutshell, Thomas. It was a good time to say by all, and everybody left, you know, feeling pretty good about Alabama basketball.
That's good. I did have one question. The 6'8 kid, Kevin Hale, I believe, you brought up earlier.
Shannon Hale, I mentioned that.
Shannon Hale, excuse me. Would you consider him a stretch 4 because of his ability, or is that too much of a, I don't want to say stretch, but is that, am I wrong there? Would be
no, that's the term they call it now. That's what Rodney Cooper played last year. That's exactly what I consider him. He's more of a stretch 4, and by stretch 4, if you don't understand basketball nomenclature, not you, Thomas, but just anybody listening,
yeah.
The 1 position is the point guard, the 2 is the shooting guard, the 3 position is the small forward, the 4 position is the power forward, and the 5 position is the center. Now, a stretch 4 is a relatively new term where a guy may line up at power forward, but he takes maybe half his shots from the perimeter. Not necessarily 3-point shots, although Hale has that ability, but it could be shots from, say, 15 to 18 feet. Or 15 to 20 feet, but they may not be all 3-pointers, but they're jump shots from outside the paint and outside 15 feet. And that is exactly the kind of player that Shannon Hale is. I mentioned the comparisons to the Florida guys who are now both in the NBA, Matt Bonner and Chandler Parsons. They were those kind of players at Florida, and they've carried those talents on into the league. And even though he's just an 18-year-old freshman, young Mr. Hale apparently has possesses a very nice shot and a very badly needed outside shooting presence. The best outside shooter on the team last year was Trevor Lacy. Well, actually, percentage-wise, was Trevor Relford, but he didn't take as many as Trevor Lacy. With Lacy gone, somebody is going to have to help Relford out. Now, Levi Randolph certainly improved as the year progressed. Rodney Cooper was up and down. But Hale, and you never know what's going to happen when the lights come on. They start playing SEC teams like Kentucky and LSU and all that. You don't know. But the early indications are that he can be exactly that kind of player, Thomas.
Well, that's exciting because that is, you know, you said it was a new term, and I'll just say this for other people listening. When you can force a defense to stretch, it opens up. It's the same. The spread in football and spreading a defense out in basketball they're not the same, but it's the same concept. When guys are not in the lane, dribble drive lanes open up. That's basically the entire point of John Calipari's offense at this point. So if Alabama is able to open up driving lanes for a Randolph, or particularly Trevor Relaford, who's already a pretty good slicer, that's a big, big deal. But anyway, thank you so much for that, Kerry. I do appreciate it. You've been going for a solid 20 minutes, and I imagine you need a break, and I actually need to run to the little host's room. So let's take a quick break.
Let me kick us off on this break, if you don't mind. Let me have the first shot at the break, and then you take it to some recorded breaks. I want to remind everybody of our newest sponsor, Big Head Barbecue, operating out of South Alabama.
Time to get hungry.
Chuck Peake and his friends. What's that? Well, hey, you live closer to it than I do.
No, I'm just
Stapleton, Alabama is where they're located. Okay, Thomas,
go ahead.
I'm trying to do a spot here. Okay. The Rock, you got to love him. Big Head Barbecue, located in Stapleton, Alabama, is an excellent place to order barbecue for any kind of civic event or a church gathering or athletic event. Doesn't matter. It could be a family reunion, a picnic, just, you know, dinner because you don't want to cook that night. 4th of July is tomorrow. I'm sure that if you call Chuck tonight, he could probably get you some food ready for tomorrow if you really need some help in a pinch. Just want to advise everybody that they can call Big Head's Barbecue, talk to Chuck. Chuck Peake is his name. He's a great American. His number is 251-379-0094. So, just give them a call, and they'll be happy to get you in touch so you can look at a menu. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them on the web. Just Google them. But it's Big Head Barbecue in Stapleton, Alabama. You can reach them at 251-379-0094. He's a good Bama man, but he caters for all, too. Give old Chuck a call. You'll be glad you did. That's Big Head's Barbecue. Now let's take it to some recorded messages, and we'll be back in just a moment here on BAMS Radio.
Yeah.
And we are back on a Wednesday night. It's about 8:24 by my computer. And we were discussing basketball in the last segment. We're going to switch over to football, I believe, right now. If you want to join in our conversation, if you want to talk about basketball, Carrie just had a great, great segment on that. Give us a call at 714-510-3707. We'd love to hear from you. If you just want to give us a big roll tide, we'll take that too. Another quick shout out. The chat room is open right now, and I have to give a tap of the hat to our good friend Billy over at Sunbelt Tents. He's actually in there, and he just posted a couple of GIFs, and I had to mute my microphone. Let me put it to you that way. I was laughing so hard. So jump in there, have a good time. I'm in there running it, and we got a couple of folks. But anyway, back to the news. I think the biggest thing for Alabama was the commitment of Montel McBride. McBride is a big fella. He is listed as a guard, but also as a defensive tackle in 247, and he's 6'4", 330. Big guy. Big kid. That's all I'm going to say. I admit, I haven't had a chance to watch his film. So, Kerry, what do you know about Mr. McBride? Do you think he'll stay offensive guard, or will he go defensive tackle?
I think he'll stay offensive guard because his film looks amazingly like Chance Warmack's film did 5 years ago, or 4 years ago. But I think he's an offensive guard for sure. He's a road grader. His pass blocking is not bad, but he is an absolute road grader on the run, and he certainly knows the meaning of the word pancake. This is not a guy that was on my radar as far as who I thought that Alabama would, you know, possibly close out with on the O-line. But apparently it's a guy that Coach Cristobal, Mario Cristobal, first-year offensive line coach at Alabama, had targeted some time ago. And, you know, it was an offer that McBride was waiting on. He got it. He committed. And then he called Nick Saban to make sure it was okay to commit. And he talked to Coach Saban, and he said, sure. And so then he reaffirmed his commitment, and he is committed to Alabama. And, you know, with they're going to have to re-sign Bradley Bozeman in January. So now they've got, like, if you count that, they've already got, like, five O-linemen committed for this class. And there's talk that they're going to take two, maybe even three more offensive linemen. The biggest fish out there is still Cam Robinson, who is just absolutely tearing it up at the opening. Out in Oregon, just killing people. He's what I would call America's left tackle. He's, you know, kind of like Cyrus Kwanja. He was just born to be a left tackle. Chris Samuels is very few people you can say it about, but you can say about all three of those guys. And Cam is allegedly privately committed to Alabama, but, you know, he won't publicly announce anything for a while. So that really, if you count Cam, that only leaves one, maybe two more. I'm still hearing, Thomas, that Alabama's made a big move on Auburn commitment Josh Castro, who can play center or guard. I'm not going to be surprised at all if Josh ends up in this Alabama class. I'm not calling it like I called Cam last week, but I feel like Alabama's made a big-time move on Josh Castro. And he's listening to Florida State as well. So if you're an Auburn fan and you think Josh Castro's in the bag for you, you probably should think again. Probably all we should say about that. But, yeah, McBride was a little bit of a surprise. But when you look – fortunately, I did get a chance to see, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes of film on him. But and obviously, films are highlights. They're called highlights for a reason. But what I saw, a lot of similarities to an 18-year-old Chance Warmack, and that's extremely high praise.
Well, that's a good problem to have. You mentioned St. Paul's center guard Josh Casher. I will actually be able to scout him because I live all of three blocks away from the St. Paul's home stadium, and I'm over there a lot.
Very
so
good.
We'll have some inside info on Mr. Casher, and I actually am looking forward to that. Just reading how the young man interacts with various media and whatnot has been rather enlightening. I think he's a guy that just as a fan I'm interested in coming to Alabama because he seems like he could be a very good force to continue the program's dominance. But, you know, that's for later on in the year. You mentioned the opening when we were discussing Mr. McBride. I brought it up briefly just when we opened up the show. But can you go more in depth? Tell our fans what all it is, who's there, and who's really making waves in terms of guys that Alabama either has committed or is recruiting. I know that our newest quarterback commitment, David Cornwell, is actively recruiting out there. So what other nuggets you got for us this evening?
Well, I got a chance to watch David Cornwell play, I guess it was 15 minutes of one-hand touch football at the opening. And I saw him lead his team to a couple of touchdowns and a couple of two-point conversions. And you asked me last week about the hitch in his throwing motion. Apparently, Trent Dilfer and whoever else is out there working with quarterbacks have been working with him because it looks much improved. Now, his accuracy, based on the 15 minutes, actually it was probably closer to 20 minutes that I watched him play of one-hand touch, no pads, but this is what – it's 7-on-7, that's what it is. Basically, there's no offensive
right.
line. There's somebody hiking you the ball, but there's no offensive line involved. What I watched, his accuracy is exactly equal to his footwork. And what I mean by that is this, and please, I'm not a quarterback scout. I'm just telling you what I observed a couple of nights ago. I think it was last night that I watched this. But when he steps into the throw, his accuracy is phenomenal. And his arm strength is unquestioned. But every now and then he'll throw flat-footed or throw off his back foot, and that's when the accuracy suffers and the ball gets underthrown, overthrown. Or I didn't see him throw any interceptions, but I did see a couple of guys get hands on balls. But he was – in the time I watched him, and granted, this is – okay, this is a 50-yard field and it's one-hand touch. But in the time I watched him, he was something like 9-for-13 for two touchdowns and 1 2-point conversion, and his team won. Now, he only played the first half. These teams they make at the opening, they have two quarterbacks on each team, and each quarterback plays a half of each game so they can be properly evaluated and develop their skills. So he played one half. And I don't know the yardage on the 9-for-13, but it's a 50-yard field, and they are allowed to hand the ball off. It was actually pretty funny, Thomas. A couple of times, Cornwell – handed the ball off to a gentleman he's trying to recruit to Alabama by the name of Leonard Fournette, a running back from the state of Louisiana that we've discussed in depth on this show. And there was this middle linebacker, this raging Caucasian who's committed to Ohio State. I didn't even get his last name. His first name was Zach. And granted, they're not in pads and it's one-hand touch, but Cornwell hands the ball off to Fournette, and he literally fakes this guy out of his athletic supporter and buries it on about the 40-yard line. That they're probably still trying to dig that guy's jock up. But Leonard looked great on the top. And Leonard showed pretty good hands the few times they threw him the ball, but they hand the ball off and he cuts. And this poor Caucasian middle linebacker, Ohio State commitment, just flagged at him, got nothing but air on him. This is one-hand touch. Now, you don't have to give but one hand on him. He couldn't even do that. Just went right around him. And I was like, man, Fournette is not just big. They got him at 6'0", 235 when they measured out there at the opening. And the opening is a gathering of the top players in America that happens in Oregon, sponsored by Nike, and coaches and evaluators are brought in to help guys get better. But you have to be really good to even get invited to it. I mentioned earlier Cameron Robinson is up there, the big left tackle from Louisiana, and he's been doing great in blocking drills. And a recent center commitment, whose last name I struggle to pronounce, is doing very well out there. Yeah, Hassenhauer. And our recent offensive guard commitment, Talamalvo, or however you say that, he's doing pretty well out there. The only bit of, I guess you could call it negative news, it was surprising news to me anyway, Alabama's locked in a pretty heated battle with Florida for a very good wide receiver named Ermine Lane. And I was told that after one of his touchdown receptions today, he paused to do the gator chomp. So that may not be a good sign for Alabama with Ermine. Or Ermine could just be having fun. You really never know. Now, arguably the top middle linebacker in the country from the South Georgia, I believe it's Hinesville, Raekwon McMillan, is out there doing very well. And he showed up today wearing Bama gear, so that caused a stir. So interesting situation there. But it's, you know, they call this a slow season, but when you have stuff like commitments and the opening and basketball booster meetings where Coach Grant speaks. It's really not. To me, it's not that slow right now. You know, we but that's kind of what's going on at the opening. Regarding recruiting, I want to mention one other thing before it slips my mind, Thomas. A gentleman who will only be a junior this fall at Tuscaloosa Central High School by the name of Lester Cotton, he didn't commit to Alabama, but he announced that he was going to commit to Alabama. So I don't know exactly how to take that, but he grew up in Tuscaloosa, you know, four or five blocks from Bryant Denny, playing at Central High School. And Lester Cotton is his name. He's 6'6", about 315 pounds. Could be a right tackle, could be a guard at the next level. But he finally got a committable offer from Alabama, or so he says, and he just told some people today in the media that he was planning to commit to Alabama, but he didn't know for sure when he was going to do it. Now, this is not a guy that will be in the class of 14. He'll be in the class of 15. He's going to be he's a rising junior at Central Tuscaloosa High School. But Lester Cotton is another guy to watch. I mean, he's a big old boy, as Billy Bob Mercer used to say on the radio back in the day. But he's Roy D. Mercer, I mean. But anyway, how big a boy are you? Well, Lester is 6'6", 315. He's, like I said, a right tackle or an offensive guard. A very good blocker. But he is, I guess you'd say, committed to commit to Alabama. So thought that was interesting. That was something that came up just today. And apparently, I don't have the full details, but maybe somebody in chat could chime in on this one. Apparently, Lorenzo Carter has named a leader. Lorenzo Carter is a defensive end from Norcross, Georgia, that is in a hot battle between Georgia and Alabama and a few others for his services. Apparently, he's named a leader, but the tweets about it are so vague that I'm not in a position to be able to say who he has named his leader. So if somebody in the chat room, Billy or anybody else that can come up with who Lorenzo's leader. My thinking is he might have said Alabama, but I'm only seeing that him. I've seen Lorenzo saying, yes, I've named a leader, but that doesn't mean I'm going to commit to that person. So I'm not sure who he named. A lot of people have said all along, including friends I know that live in Norcross, Georgia, that Alabama was in excellent shape for him.
But Billy's, you know, saying in chat that he named Florida as his leader.
Okay. Well, and I understand that, if he named Florida his leader, because my sources have told me in the last week and a half, that Alabama has made a bigger priority of Deshaun Hand than they have Lorenzo Carter lately. And that's not sour grapes, because Lorenzo could still change his mind and come to Alabama. He has a committable Alabama offer. But my sources have told me that that Alabama's staff may feel that Deshaun Hand, who is basically this year's Robert Kimdichie, if you want a comparison, is perhaps a better fit for the Nick Saban Kirby Smart defense, the 3-4, than Lorenzo Carter may be better suited to be like an end in a 4-3. That's not to say they wouldn't take Lorenzo, because they would. He's a great player. But it may be that, you know, one of the people that David Cornwell is recruiting at the opening is Deshaun Hand. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Cam Robinson and Talamalvo and Hassan Howell and all of them are recruiting him too. So, and Deshaun Hand is definitely, he's named Alabama in his top three. So that's interesting that Lorenzo is named Florida as leader. That may sound like bad news, but it may be good news regarding Deshaun Hand. So there is that. That's a breaking situation. I appreciate Billy for chiming in on that, because I wasn't sure who he had named as leader.
I was just going to jump in briefly, and just I say this almost every show, and it'll keep saying it until we get close for signing day. Recruiting is a marathon. A leader named right now doesn't mean a ton. I'm just saying this to fans in general. So with Carter naming Florida, that doesn't mean Alabama's out of it. So kind of take everything you hear in terms of recruiting with a grain of salt, realizing that it's still at the earliest case, a 6 to 8 an 8 month turnaround. In the case of the 14 and the 15 class, I don't even I throw my hands up with all of that. If Alabama gets a commitment, great. But a 2-year commitment's tough for me to really put a lot of stock in. But anyway, I just had to get my little public service announcement, if you will, in about football recruiting. Excuse me.
Good. You make a great point. And speaking of football, I just have been informed via Twitter that we need to keep the family of Ole Miss offensive lineman Park Stevens in our prayers. Apparently, Park was killed in a car accident today. Very tragic. So please pray for the family of Park Stevens, who was killed today, offensive lineman for Ole Miss. I had no idea that had happened, but it's being reported by Rebels 24/7. So obviously it is true, and that is so sad. You really hate to hear things like that. Even hate to report things like that, but certainly I'm sure that the Stevens family could use all the prayers they could get right now. I really, really, really hate to see that. But hate to be Debbie Downer, but that actually showed up on Lorenzo Carter's Twitter. So so obviously he's following Rebels 24/7 too. But really hate to hear that. Offensive lineman Park Stevens of Ole Miss killed in a car accident today.
That's awful. There's no other way to put it. That's just awful.
It is. I hate it. And I certainly, we all need to be praying for the Stevens family in that situation. Just really, really, really hard. That's one of the tough things about sports journalism is when something like that comes up and you have to report it. And it may be that the majority of our listeners might have already even known about it, but certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to the Stevens family who lost their son Park today in a tragic car wreck. So there's that. But back to a positive note, other than Lorenzo Carter naming Florida his leader and Ermin Lane, wide receiver, doing a gator chomp in the end zone at the opening, most of the news, such as the Raekwon McMillan and the Cam Robinson rumblings and things like that, most of the news from the opening this week has been extremely positive for Alabama. 80-85% of the news has been wonderful for Alabama. And I was really glad to get to watch that 20 minutes or so of David Cornwell last night, because now I've got a better idea about his arm strength and his accuracy and his delivery and all that. And he is every bit of 6'5", which he's listed at, and looks like he's pretty close to the 230, 235 he's listed at. And he certainly has got a cannon for an arm. He's a guy that would be perfect to come in redshirt and learn the system and work a little more on his motion and his footwork. But I tell you what, the tools are there. The tools are definitely there. And he was listed by Trent Dilfer, who's kind of the quarterback consultant at the opening, as the guy that improved the most from day one to day two out in Oregon. Now, day one was a bunch of individual work, and apparently he was kind of erratic in some of his throws that day, but day two, when they started doing the actual 7-on-7 and throwing to receivers who were being covered, he improved dramatically, night and day improvement. So that was good to see that tape and to hear Trent Dilfer say that. But like I said, Thomas, I don't even know why people call this slow season. Now, it is slower than, like, if we were putting games or having spring training or whatever. It's slower than that, and it's slower than the weeks and days leading up to signing day. But recruiting has gotten to be such a 365-day-a-year deal. One of my favorite things to say about recruiting when I'm speaking to groups is that recruiting is like shaving. You miss a day, you look like a bum. But I can tell you that the Alabama staff doesn't miss a day regarding when it's legal to recruit kids. And, of course, you can evaluate them, you know, pretty much every day, and they're doing that as well. So regardless of what happens with Ermin Lane or Lorenzo Carter or anybody else, this is going to be, at the worst, a top three class for Alabama, consensus. But it looks like it could very well, once they get Cam and a few others in the fold, maybe Fournette or another great running back, it looks like it's going to be another number one recruiting class, which is becoming par for the course in Tuscaloosa. It's just it's like an embarrassment of riches, Thomas. I mean, we're getting spoiled. Things haven't been like this since the 70s in Tuscaloosa. And as somebody who has been a part of both of those two eras as a supporter and a fan and a follower of Alabama football, it's really great to see it rise like a phoenix from the
ashes of Mike Shula to where it is today under Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and that staff. I just don't know how things could be really going any better right now for Alabama football. I hate to sound like the eternal optimist, because if I see something bad, I'll come out and say it. But right now, things are just going great, and that's the way it is. I mean, we got any callers that want to chime in on that? We'd love to hear from them, too.
We do.
What's that number again, Thomas?
Yeah, if you want to join in with Carrie and I, the number is 714-510-3707. We'd love to hear from you. I do have to say, Carrie, in the vein of conversation here, I've been chuckling or muting my mic and just outright laughing because our bad news is a guy naming an excellent player naming another school his leader, and another guy and another recruit doing a Gator chomp. That's our problem we have at the Open. Not that the Alabama commitments are playing poorly. No, they're playing great. Our problem is a Gator chomp. In my world, I have no problem with that. But anyway, let's get to a caller.
Well, Bird's gotten some bad news recently, but it hasn't been medically related. It's been the suckage of his New York Yankees.
Oh, gosh. Well,
but I'll be ragging him about that next week. Trust me.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm waiting for Bird and Legend to tie up for a few segments. I'm just going to kick back with some popcorn. But anyway,
Legend's the Oreo guy, and Bird is a Yankee guy, and I'm a Braves guy. Suffice it to say that Kerry and Legend's teams are doing a little bit better than Bird's team is right now. They're not even set to get a wild card right now. Now, I think the
AL
Braves
is a little stacked.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not a huge American League fan, but when I do indulge in the American League, I go with the Bo Sox, and they're doing a whole lot better than the Yankees are. So, Bird, if you're listening, sorry, man, but I had to take a shot at your beloved New York Yankees, who always have been and always will be the Notre Dame of Major League Baseball.
Ouch. I get the feeling Bert's about to call in and give us a piece
he
of his
mind. He needs to.
Yeah,
he needs to call in. Now, my Braves are stinking it up against the Florida Marlins tonight, losing 6-2, but that's okay. The Braves have the biggest division lead, which is 7 games over the Washington Nationals right now. So you're going to lose one every now and then, so we're not going to worry about if they lose to Florida tonight. That's we'll get past the Miami Marlins. We'll get past that one with a loss, and we'll look at the fact that we have a 7-game lead in our division, which is the biggest lead in all of baseball out of all 6 divisions. So yeah, maybe Bird will want to talk a little baseball next week. His boy A-Rod's getting ready to come back, so that should be a joyous occasion in the clubhouse up there in the Bronx. but anyway, roll tide, Bird.
Next week is going to be interesting when he comes back. But anyway, I have brought another caller on live with us. It's our good friend Marty. Marty, how you doing this evening? Glad to have you on.
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Wow. Let me start feeling down about Alabama basketball, then get to hear Kerry on the radio. I'm telling you what. Now I'm so fired up about Alabama basketball, I can't wait for basketball season to start, man. Thank you, Kerry, because, man, I was down in the dumps about Alabama basketball. So,
well, thank
great,
you, Marty,
great
because
down.
If it hadn't been for you, we might not even have had a show tonight, because I knew we talked about not having it because of the holiday coming tomorrow, and I got to thinking, now, if we don't have a show, I'm going to get another email from Marty asking me what's going on. What's going on with Bama Radio? So we had this show kind of in your honor, so I'm glad you finally called in, buddy.
Well, hey, I got a good – I don't know if it's a great story, but I got a good story for Bam's Radio. You know, I went to eat Mexican tonight. Well, I went to get pickup Mexican to carry out. And, of course, you have to wait. So I said, I'm just going to wait at the bar. You know, so I went to the bar and I sat down. And of course, the little Mexican guy brings out some chips and dip. And I sat there and eat the chip and dip. And I'm sitting beside a man and a woman, and he's just rattling off. I mean, evidently he's either her boyfriend or a very close friend, one of the two. And I could tell right off the bat he was either a Texas A&M fan or an Auburn fan. And she was an Alabama fan. I did get that part out of it. And he was just rattling about Texas A&M. You know, Alabama's going to get Texas A&M second game. Texas A&M's going to beat them. And you know, she's going to beat Alabama this year. Alabama's going to have a rough road to win the SEC championship game. And he just kept on about, you know, if AJ, he started on A.J. McCarron. If he goes down, Alabama's just ruined and all this stuff, you know. And I just about had all I could stand of it. I didn't really want to comment because I just wanted to get my Mexican and go home and enjoy it. But, you know, being a true Alabama fan, I just had to speak up, you know. I said, hey, dude, hey, you know what? I've been following Alabama football for 35 to 40 years, and I've never, ever seen Alabama three deep in almost every position. You know, he said, oh, what about a quarterback? I said, well, you know, if quarterback, you got A.J. McCarron. You also got, I think if A.J. goes down, you're going to have Alex Morris step in. Have you ever heard of him? No. I said, well, you will hear of him, you know, eventually. And you got Alex Morris, you got Blake Sims, you know. Then you got Cooper Bateman. I said, you know, no, I don't want A.J. to go down, but I think if he did, I think Nick Saban's got the team rolling in the right direction. That he's aware of that, you know. And I looked at his girlfriend or his friend or whatever she was, and I said, you know what? You need to listen to BAM's radio. Just tune in every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Go on BAM's radio, and you'll have all the ammunition you'll ever need to battle this guy. And Ben Healy, you could just see smoke just pouring from his ears, you know. And then about that time, my food come up, and I left, you know. And I was thinking to myself, roll tide.
I love it. That's good stuff, Marty.
Well done. Good job.
It was, man. I loved it, you know. It just made you feel so good because, you know, listen to BAMS and listen to Kerry and Rock. Man, I can't think of anybody else in the industry that would have as much information as y'all guys got. You know, I learned so much from listening to y'all. Of course, I read forums and stuff, but when you have to work for a living, you can't do it all the time. And I look forward to Wednesday night to find out what's going on. Like this basketball thing that you come up with tonight, Kerry. Man, I would never know that stuff. If we hadn't had BAMS radio and you hadn't been broadcasting over the air, we would never know that. You know, that's awesome, you know. I just have to congratulate you on. I appreciate what you do. Appreciate you following the team and giving us this information because it's just a wealth of information for us fans out here.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot, Marty. I really thank you for that.
Yeah. And I got a couple of questions real quick if I can. You know, one thing is I looked at the pictures on the internet, everything about the new locker rooms. Man, I tell you what, that's some awesome stuff. Have you seen that?
Have you seen the mural?
Yes, I have. That's just awesome. Whoever came up with that was it's amazing. You got all those famous stars right there in the front where you can read them, Bennett and Richardson and, you know, Thomas. And it's amazing. I'd love to see that in real life where you could just see that mural going out there. That's the most awesome picture I've ever seen, I believe.
Do you know what he's talking about, Thomas?
Yeah, I've seen the locker room and particularly the mural. Shocking. I don't want to say opulent. That's not fair. It's just it shows you how good Alabama has it right now. I would love to take a tour of that facility. Let me put it to you that way.
Well, I'm hoping to have that opportunity in a couple months. But that mural, what it is, if you guys are listening have not seen it, it's a picture of the Alabama team getting ready to run out of the tunnel at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And what they've done is they've taken all the great players throughout the years and made them to all be on the same team with modern equipment and modern jerseys and helmets and all that. Like the guys that Marty mentioned, in addition to Julio Jones, Ozzie Newsome, Barrett Jones, and if you strain hard enough, you can see number 12, Joe Namath. And they're all coming out of the tunnel. And Mark Barron is on there. But they're all coming out of the tunnel as if they're going to run on the field and play a game at Bryant-Denny. It's just the coolest mural. I mean, I saw that thing, and I was like, dang, that's awesome. They need to make a painting out of that and sell that.
I believe they could.
I think they would make a lot of money doing it. I was thinking when, Marty, when you were telling us about the initial mural, I was like, my room could use one of those.
wonder if I can get one.
Oh, definitely. at least your man cave.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, one other
question.
I don't
think you have a man cave when you live at home, Marty.
No, that's true. You know, only bachelors have a man cave.
Well.
I'm not even going to say anything.
Oh, I'll follow it. I'm just kidding. So, roll tide, Thomas.
Yeah.
What else you got for us, Marty?
Tell us about the, Marty, you got any other questions for us?
Yeah, I got a little bit of question. You kind of answered a little bit of it. You know, Bradley Mosley, you know, I've been hearing some good things about this kid since he got over his injury he had. You know, you said they're going to have to re-sign him. Is that correct?
Yeah, Bradley Bozeman, offensive lineman from Roanoke, was injured in his senior year and decided to gray shirt, and that means he didn't come to Alabama yet. And so he can come in January and go through the semester and spring training and all that, but he has to re-sign a scholarship. And even though he might not be listed on the signing day list they hand out to the media, he does have to re-sign and be part of this class. Now, he may be able to be what they call a back counter, like you may could bring in 27 if you have two spots available that weren't filled in the prior class or those guys didn't make it to school. The jury's still out on all three of the Alabama signees that had not qualified out of last year's show. The Clearing House is dragging their feet on Robert Foster and Darius Page. And, you know, so hopefully those things will be cleared up. But if they don't get in, you know, they would have to re-sign. But that's hopefully those guys will get in school. But, yeah, Brandy is going to have to be re-signed as even in anybody that enters in January because, you know, a lot of the guys that are seniors in high school this year are going to go ahead and graduate high school in December and come in January. But Bradley's a situation where he just rehabbed his injury and he's ready to go now. And they are going to have to re-sign Bradley Bozeman. And I'm not sure if he'll be able to count as a back counter or have to count as one of these 25. Not sure about all that yet. Nick Saban's the king of that math. He just you learn earlier in your career, though, not to ask him that question about the numbers. He don't like that question.
But you do think he'll resign, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Unless something dramatic happens that is totally unforeseen, I'm 99.99% sure he's going to resign. I've heard nothing to the contrary. I've just seen all these projections about, you know, who the offensive linemen are in this class and how many more they're going to take. And I've just tried to remind people on my Twitter, which if anybody wants to follow me, it's @CCBama. I think both already do, but it's – you know, I could use some more followers. But anyway, I've had to remind some people, you know, younger guys mainly, that people tend to forget that if a guy gray shirts, he has to re-sign. And it's not a done deal that he can be a back counter. He may have to count as part of that 25, that coming class. It just depends on who all makes it from the previous class. And so that's kind of where we are on that. But, yeah, he will be on campus in January. And he'll have to sign when he gets there. But they might not even list him as part of this signing class, but he's definitely part of the 85 scholarships.
Well, I'm glad I got that cleared up because I was kind of confused about that. But my last question is, and I'll get off here and let y'all talk or whatever, but Bo Scarborough, do you think Alabama holds on to him? Because that, you know, that kid, I think he's a special talent.
You know, I've seen him play, Marty, and I went when they played Hoover. And to me, if you're this hyped-up five-star, great, all-American, whatever prospect, you would think that that individual would be one of the top players on the field and that he would be dominating every game he played. And he didn't do anything against Hoover until Hoover put their second string in. In the middle of the third quarter because they were whooping Northridge so hard. He just didn't show me a whole lot. The year before when I saw him, he looked pretty good for a quarter, and then he got hurt and had to leave a game. So he had a great first quarter of that game. But that second time I saw him, man, I just I wasn't feeling it for him. I really – this is may sound like blasphemy, but I really don't care what he does. He isn't going to make or break this class.
if he leaves this class and it means we can take Fournette and Rock Thomas, I'm not going to lose no sleep over it. I know Florida's pushing him pretty hard right now, but him being a Tuscaloosa guy, my assumption is that he'll probably stay committed to Alabama and sign with Alabama. But I will tell you this much, Marty, I would not assume that he's going to be a running back at Alabama. I think he ends up as like an H-back, maybe even a tight end.
That's what I've heard too. But, you know, I mean, but the kid's got unbelievable physical appearance. And, you know, he should have the ability to be a good player. But, I have never seen him.
Mediocre and sorry teams.
Yeah, I've never seen him play live. So, I mean, if you have, I'll take your word for it. But, you know, I read a lot about him, and he seems to have so much physical ability, and the size he has, you know, you'd think I thought he was doing better than what you're saying there.
I got some breaking news for you about another school's recruiting, not really recruiting, but another school's quarterback.
I just saw that too. I know what you're about to say.
I don't know how it's going to affect his future in football. But the Boston Red Sox have just signed Florida quarterback Jeff Driskel.
Wow.
I don't know if he's going to be able to keep playing football and stay eligible in the SEC. I know that people have done it in the ACC. Deion Sanders did it. But I don't know if it's going to be possible for him to – I don't know that he'll keep playing for Florida. That's an interesting situation right there.
Well, that's devastating.
It's devastating if he leaves, but, I mean, who's to say he might – I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, I would think they'd want him to go ahead and report to a minor league team. But I don't know how that's going to work. This just broke in the last, 30 minutes.
Wow. Well, guys, I appreciate what y'all do, and I really enjoy listening to you and get all this information. Y'all keep at it and roll tide. I'm going to get off here and listen to what y'all have to say at the end here. Thank you.
And it is the end.
Yeah. We do have one more.
It has come to an end, Thomas.
Well, we have one more call that's been on hold for like 15 minutes, so I definitely want to let.
Okay.
Yeah. 0822, you are on live with Carrie and Rock Watts. What you got for us?
What's up, Carrie and Thomas? This is Bring the Pain.
Hey, Pain, how are
all
you?
All right. Roll Tide.
What are y'all up to?
Me, about 6'4", Thomas, no good.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, I'm about 3 feet, so y'all got me beat. Hey, I got a couple of questions for you. What do y'all think about people from the West Coast coming to visit the University of Alabama? And what do y'all think about that 28-year-old baseball player playing safety for Alabama?
Okay. Well, those are both good questions. I'll take the second one first. The 28-year-old former pro baseball player is Jay Miller, and Jay is originally from Selma. He originally committed to Stanford after people thought he was going to come to Alabama, possibly, and ended up signing pro baseball and never playing college football. He's done an excellent job since he got to Alabama in January. He had a good spring. He is listed as a safety and will probably play a little in some of the games that are not maybe as close. But Payne, where they think he's going to make an immediate impact, maybe even Virginia Tech game, is covering kicks, like on punts and kickoffs. They think that Miller is going to be able to help him from day one in that area. In regard to your question about people from California visiting Alabama, Alabama's doing pretty good right now with those guys. Now, I know there's one more they want to get, which is the tight end from La Mirada, Luatua, who's Isaac Luatua's little brother. They want to sign him from California. But so far they've been getting a lot of guys from that area. And as far as them visiting, I think what really impresses them, Payne, is that when they get to Tuscaloosa, they've never seen, because there's so much going on out in California besides football, okay? When they get to Tuscaloosa, when they get down to Tuscaloosa, they see things like you know, fans giving Roll Tides 365 days a year, and they see all the different stores that sell Alabama memorabilia and polo shirts and sweatshirts and hats and all, and they see things like that locker room we were talking about earlier with waterfalls and murals, and they get really impressed because even though football is a huge deal at USC, it is, but there's just so much going on in Los Angeles with the Dodgers and the Angels and the Lakers and the LA Kings and hockey, and it's USC football is never going to be the big thing, okay? It ain't. And
okay.
UCLA football is kind of secondhand to USC, even though they're probably more up and coming right now. It's just UCLA is a basketball school. You know, it's kind of like if somebody visits Duke or Kentucky in basketball, they're going to be blown away by that. They're going to be blown away when they visit Alabama in football because they don't know, coming from California, how big of a deal it is down here in the South.
Okay.
That'll be my answer to that.
Before I let y'all go, I got a few more questions. Marty, when he mentioned Bowman, I read online that Bowman said he is totally committed to Alabama. He's not going nowhere else. And,
I'll do that.
And Texas A&M athletic director opened his mouth. He stuck his foot in his mouth because anybody knows that if Nick Saban loses once, he's going to come back and win again. All you have to do is ask Florida. Because Texas A&M's athletic director said, what's the difference between the moon and the tide? And he said that they control them or something like that. I forgot how
he put it. What does Texas A&M have
and,
to do with have in common with the moon? They both control the tide.
That joke has been common for years, but that's okay.
Jerry, I was going to ask you something. Do you think you can get me a couple of passes to get on the field?
I sure don't. I'm lucky to get one. I don't want to lead you on, brother. I don't have that kind of power. I sure don't.
All right, man.
I wish I could.
Y'all take care, man. Roll Tide to you. Sorry I haven't been calling in.
That's okay, buddy. Hey, yes. Are you the one that's Jocelyn's boyfriend?
Yes.
You go, boy.
That's me.
Roll Tide, Daniel. I'm going to give you a big Roll Tide on that, buddy. You go, boy. You tell Joshua she needs to start back calling in, too.
I definitely would do that, fellas. I will.
We depend on y'all on 256, brother.
I'll tell her. Love you guys. Y'all take care and God bless, man.
Thanks for calling, Payne. Roll Tide, buddy.
All right, bye.
Well, Thomas, on that note,
it's time to get out of here. My weekend has started. I don't know about yours, but mine certainly has.
When you're unemployed, your weekend never ends.
I keep
hoping every week when Marty calls, he's going to say, "Kerry, I found you a job," but that hasn't happened yet. So,
I was brokenhearted.
That's
unfortunate. I wasn't trying to make light of your situation. But
that's
anyway.
Right. God's got a plan. I'm just not sure what it is yet. And I actually had a really good interview today, so you never know. Hopefully the tide's about to turn for old CC Bama.
There you go. Well, I'll get the prayer choir started down here to help you out on that one. But anyway, on that
we'll take
note, it. Awesome. On that note, it's 9:10. So we're going to go in and get out of here, but I'm going to remind fans that
Carrie and I think Bird and Blip might be back next week, so definitely something to look forward to. A couple of guests maybe. Show will spin back up, and it'll be, again, same old Bama stuff, but we'll have a couple of voices, or the whole crew will be back. Carrie, you got anything for us before I kick us out of here?
Well, you asked me about the opening. I do want to give some credit to center commitment J.C. Hassenhauer. He was named the offensive line most valuable player at the opening's lineman challenge based on his competition against defensive linemen. So that was a good thing for us to end on. Shout out to J.C. Hassenhauer. And J.C., keep on recruiting Cam Robinson. And hope everybody that's listening tonight has a great 4th of July. Be safe, be careful, and roll tide. And Thomas, take us out.
So, for Kerry Clark, I am Thomas Watts. Thank you so much for listening to BAMS Radio. Have a safe 4th of July weekend. Catch y'all next week. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.